Where is everybody? I just realized how short we are. I wanted to say to everybody, if you want to hear Tim preach for the last time, he's going to preach next Sunday. And then they will be leaving around the 19th or so. So he won't be here for a while. When he visits, he can preach. But we won't be able to hear him preach for a while. And then the following Sunday, the one and only Jonathan is going to bring a lesson on the 12th. I've chosen today to preach something different, and that's when bankruptcy becomes a blessing. In Matthew 5, 1 through 9, he says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Someone has called the Beatitudes the attitudes that ought to be. And I'm going to call them the keys of the kingdom. Others say there really is a blueprint for happiness. And what they are is foundation stones for your home and your life. Really what they are keys to the kingdom, Jesus said. This is what it takes for you to get into the kingdom of God. So these attitudes ought to be our beatitudes. I've heard about a big dog one time. And that big dog saw a little dog, and that little dog was chasing his tail. And said the big dog to the little dog, "Why do you do that?" And the smaller dog said, "Well, I've been studying philosophy, and I believe that I have mastered philosophy. I believe that I have discovered the answer to the universe. I have discovered what a dog needs is the deepest need a dog is happiness." And he said, "I have also discovered that happiness lies in a dog's tail. That's why I'm chasing my tail." He said, "If I can ever apprehend that tail, if I can ever lay hold upon my tail, then I shall be a happy dog." The old dog, who was wiser, said, "I too have studied philosophy. And I too have thought and pondered about these things. And in some ways, I agree with you. I too think that it's good for a dog to be happy. And I too believe that in some degree, happiness lies in a dog's tail. But I have made a discovery, the more I chase my tail, the more it runs away from me. But when I forget about chasing it and go about doing my business, it always follows." So it is with happiness. When we really get down to the Lord's business, we quit chasing our tail and we start finding what happiness really is. Happiness is not happiness for a dog chasing his tail, even for a dog. But those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, there is spiritual happiness, there is joy, and that's what the Lord means when he talks about being happy or blessed. It's a very hard word to translate. It could be described to be full of joy. It could mean to be congratulated And the Greek word makarios means to be self-contained, to have what you need within you, and we call it blessedness. And so we're going to be thinking about a blueprint for blessedness this morning, for living attitudes that are ought to be. And the first one is found in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the first key to the kingdom. Now notice that in all the Beatitudes, Jesus Christ is talking about who we are, not primarily what we have. And this is important, and that's one of the reasons why I'm going to say, keep us after for just a little bit. Today we live in a world that places the emphasis primarily on what you have. Blessed are those that have wealth. Blessed are those who have strength. Blessed are those who have power. And blessed are those that have knowledge. Blessed are those that have prestige. And blessed are those that have popularity. You know, it's the big B's, the bucks, the brains, the beauty, and the brawn. These things people think brings happiness. Blessedness, a lot of people have those things that don't have joy. They don't have any kind of happiness at all. And Jesus here places his emphasis not primarily on what a man has, but what a man is. Blessed, and then he describes character qualities. The very first of these character qualities is a character called poorness of spirit. So I want us to think about this number one key to the kingdom for us getting into that kingdom. What's he talking about? He's really talking about a beggar. Blessed are the beggars. There are several words in the Bible for being poor. One word is a word that just speaks of poverty, like the widow that had two mites and put in the offering plate. Do you remember the story of the widow? She was poor, but at least she had two mites. She had something to give. That's one word for poverty that's found, but that's not the word that Jesus used here. The word found here does not refer to that kind of poverty. It's another word, and it means a beggar. One that has absolutely nothing. Now that sounds a little strange to say that one that has absolute nothing is going to be blessed. It's a word that's used in Luke 16. You remember the story of the beggar that was at the gate of the rich man named Lazarus, and the dogs came and licked his sores, and he ate the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. That is, he was absolutely, totally, completely destitute. That's the word that Jesus used here. Not just a poor man, a man that is totally devastating, impoverished. Jesus called such a one blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. So he's saying, blessed are the beggars. So who are these beggars that he's talking about? There's three basic things I want you to see with me today as we look at these scriptures. The spiritual beggar and his bankruptcy. First of all, I want to see the spiritual beggar and his bankruptcy. What does Jesus Christ mean when he says, blessed are the beggars, blessed are the beggars, blessed are the bankrupt? What's the meaning of this? Let me say it right now. Jesus is not talking about financial poverty. Jesus never said it's a blessing to be financially poor. Don't ever get that into your head that you being poor is something that God calls blessed. Bible never puts a premium on being financially poor. The Bible teaches that we are to be compassionate towards the poor. And the Bible teaches we ought to help the poor. But the Bible teaches that poor people are often rich in faith. Nowhere does the Bible teach that material poverty as such is a blessing. If Jesus is talking about being physically poor, then we ought to try to make everybody poor so they can be happy. But that's not what he's talking about. I want us to see the depth of this. He's talking about poor in spirit. With your body, you have physical life. With your soul, you have psychological life. And with your spirit, you have spiritual life. With your body, you know the world beneath you, and with your soul, you know the world around you. And with your spirit, you know the world above you, the spiritual world. God is a spirit, or God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's in John 4:24. But before a person can enter the kingdom of heaven, he must admit that in his spirit, in the realm of the spirit, no matter how much he may have in the material realm, no matter how much he may have in the psychological realm, in the spiritual realm, he is absolutely, totally bankrupt, and he is a beggar before God. I want us to get that into our mind. If he doesn't see that, he's never going to get into the kingdom of God. Not just that he's spiritually poor, but he is destitute of all, and he recognizes for the first time, I'm a beggar. And that word means to cower, to cringe, to shrink back. We could just say it this way, there are no peacocks in heaven. So he's talking about a person who is totally, completely, devastatingly bankrupt to the point that he realizes, I am begging. And when he comes to God, he must say, my hands, no price I bring, simply that to thy cross I cling. That's the reason that his character quality is put first. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now you'll see some people who will sit in the congregation and they say, well, yes, brother, that's right. I'm not perfect. But I'm not as bad as the other people. I've got other people a lot worse than me. So I'm better than them. The sad part is, they have never become bankrupt, and that's their problem. When you have that attitude, I know that I'm not perfect, but I'm better than others. You've never seen yourself. And I just want to say this, if you've really seen God, you've seen yourself. Think about that. You've never discovered what the Bible says, that even your righteous is as filthy rags in the sight of the righteous and holy God. That's Isaiah 64:6. We're going to see later on in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. You shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:20. And they appeared outwardly righteous more than any man, boy, girl, in the building. Those people that were in the Bible that they're called Pharisees and those that were scribes. Their appearance was such that we could not even match it today. They looked so holy and so righteous, and you could almost see the halos around their head. Number two, the spiritual beggar and his brokenness. So what are we talking about is the spiritual bankrupt. The place that we start is the discovery of our situation. I have to look at where am I spiritually. I have to really see me spiritually. First of all, a man must discover and admit just who he is. Many people have never really seen this. For most people, their greatest need is to see their need. That's the greatest need man has. It's if I can see what I really need. Many people sit on churches on Sunday morning when they're glad rags. They're heady, haughty, and high-minded, and thinking they're doing God a big, wild favor because they're there. Shame on you for thinking that. I mean, so many people, I've said it before, are egomaniacs, strutting and going to hell, thinking they're too good to be damned. But there must come a discovery. The discovery comes when we see just who God is, and then all of a sudden I understand who we are. For example, Simon Peter. Simon Peter was naturally an aggressive man. I think Tim mentioned him the other day. Simon Peter was a take charge type of fellow. Simon Peter, the big fisherman, you know, he was always giving his opinion. He would just blurt it out right away. Of course, he was frequently wrong, but he was never in doubt. He always knew he was right. Somebody said that the only time he ever opened his mouth was to exchange feet. He was putting his foot in his mouth every time. But Simon Peter one day had a glimpse of the majesty of Jesus Christ. And do you know what he said? Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. That's Luke 5:8. He finally saw his bankruptcy. If you'll remember later on, he did some other things and he betrayed Christ. And then he came to the knowledge, look at what I am. If you read the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, he's thundering woes against this sin, woes against this country, and woes against this people. Woe is you, woe is you, woe is you. Isaiah 5:18-23. And then you come back and see Isaiah in chapter 6 when he said, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon the throne. And then he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the Lord. Isaiah 6:1-5. Isaiah had a broken spirit. All of a sudden, he saw himself because he saw his God. And Jesus happened to be there in that place with a woman from Phoenicia. She had a daughter that was demon-possessed, and she wanted Jesus Christ to heal her demon-possessed daughter. And Jesus Christ, in order to bring her to a point of brokenness, said something to her that just almost seems cruel. She said, "Lord, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "I haven't sent you, sent to you. I have come to the lost sheep of Israel." And Jesus asked an important question, and I want you to just think you're there, and he asked you this question. Is it reasonable that we should take bread from the children and give it to the dogs? Matthew 15, 22 through 26. In effect, he was calling her a dog. And here he used the word for dog that meant a household pet. You don't take the food off the table and give it to the dog. You give it to the children. Jesus said, "I have come to the lost sheep of Israel." And the Syrophoenician woman, you would think that she would have gone off in a huff, said, "I've never been talked to in such a way." And some religious leader he is. I thought he was a man of compassion. But she didn't say that. You know what she said? She said, "You're absolutely right." She saw herself. "You're absolutely right." She said, "That's the truth, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table." And when she used the dog this time, she was talking about that mongrel, that one that eats out of the garbage can. Jesus' heart was broken. And he says, "Woman, great is your reward. You're going to have exactly what you ask." Matthew 15, 27 and 28. What happened to this woman? The same thing that happened to Simon Peter when he saw the Lord. The same thing that happened to Isaiah when he saw the Lord. And the same thing happened to this woman. They became beggars in the sight of a righteous and holy God. These beggars in the sight of a righteous and holy God got exactly what they wanted. The Apostle Paul, and I'm moving quickly here today. You know what? I've got less of a crowd today and I'm preaching longer today, but just bear with me. If there was ever a man that was bankrupt, the Apostle Paul was. He was the Hebrew of Hebrews. He had the right birthright. He ran in the high society. He was a Pharisee. He was so religious that people touching him, he would change his clothes. And he was a Roman citizen. He was a free man. He had the very best education, educated by a man named Gamaliel. And he would today have the equivalent of a triple PhD. He was fluent in many languages. He was a world traveler. And he had been keeping the Jewish laws with amazing exactitude. But one day he caught a glimpse of Jesus Christ. He said, "All these things I had counted gain, I now count them loss. I took from them the assets side of the ledger and I put it on the liability side. All these things depending upon," he said, "count them." Listening to this, I want you. "I count them as dung, excrement. That's what I count them as. that I might gain Christ. Philippians 3 and verse 8. Spiritually bankrupt, I mean totally, totally, totally a beggar. This one that was so high and mighty in the sight of God. You know, that knocks the legs out from under human pride. And human pride is at the root of all problems. There are a lot of people today saying, well, I'm not going to go that route. Who does he think he is talking to me? Oh, me, I'm a pretty good guy. Pretty good guys go to hell. And I want you to realize that pretty good guys go to hell. People think, you know, I've done so much good. I try to be kind to my neighbors. I try to be good. I try to do all that. But he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. So there's a dependency of our situation. And when he discovers this, then he gets dependency. I have to depend upon Jesus Christ. You have to be born again, he said. When you die, you may have a big funeral. You ever go to a funeral and hear somebody say, you know what, that was such a lousy guy and he's going to be lost? No, you don't hear that. There's a lot of Cadillacs sitting out in front. There's a lot of BMWs sitting out there. There's a big hearse. They're all parked out in front. And they may stand up and eulogize you and say, here lies one of the finest citizens in this city. He did this, a man of prestige, a man of influence. But your soul will be in hell before the undertaker even knows who you are. You can't take it with you, and if you could, it'd burn up. Are you spending your time on education? And that's good. And you may be saying, I'm not here to hear a narrow-minded preacher. I'm a learned person. And I thank God for your education, but have you discovered yourself? I'd rather be in heaven with my ABCs than to be in hell spouting my philosophy. I'm telling you, not Mason French. Jesus Christ said, blessed are those that are spiritual beggars who have come to this place. I remember a long time reading this, but Muhammad Ali, when he was in his prime, he got on an airplane. And he sat down and the stewardess said, fasten your seat belts. He said to her, Superman doesn't need seat belts. And she quickly said, well, Superman doesn't need an airplane. Fasten your seat belt. So I don't care what you've gained. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your ability is. When a man sees that he's bankrupt in the sight of God, he ceases to depend upon these things and starts depending on God. So back to Matthew 5 and verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Will exceed how much? And he tells us in verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Is anybody here perfect? No. Not even Jonathan? Nobody says I'm as perfect as God. You'll never know righteousness And you'll never know that perfection is given through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's perfect. I've got to get into him. What we need to do is stop measuring ourselves by others or by some false standard. We need to measure ourselves by God. People are afraid to get around the hypocrites in the church, and there's always been hypocrites in the church. Every now and then somebody says, oh, I don't want to go to church. There's many hypocrites there. Do tell. One of the 12 apostles was a hypocrite. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but somehow or another people get to that place. Do you remember Peter finally got to that place later on? And even Barnabas got to that place that they were hypocrites. But they changed. People say, I'm just as good as those folks down at the church. You may be. But are you as well off spiritually? And the last thing I want to talk about is the declaration of our situation. Once we discover it, we then stop depending on other things. And there is a declaration that follows it. We lay our pride in the dust. Years ago, I was in Los Angeles, and I saw a man stick his head in a garbage can, and he didn't even pick it up out of there. He just ate out of the garbage can. I've seen beggars sitting at gates, lifting and pleading. In fact, Paige and I just went to IHOP the other morning, and there was a couple sitting out there. And the fellow said, are you a veteran? I said, no. And he said, well, I am. And he was so kind to his wife. And I got to thinking after we went in for breakfast, I wonder whether he had breakfast because they looked very poor. I went back and I said, did you have breakfast this morning? And he said, no, sir, I didn't. And I said, well, breakfast is on the Lord today. These things break your heart. And they say, I don't want to be around certain people. Then you just have to go to hell because you're so rotten proud. So all sin is rooted in pride. And I want to end this in a couple of ways. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, he says, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So you have to lay all your pride down. I'm going to tell you just quickly what evangelism is. It's one beggar telling another beggar how to find bread. And that bread is in Jesus Christ. Don't delay. You know what to do to be saved. So we invite you to come while together we stand and sing.